Should President Trump be removed from office? What's a Christian response?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you to start our week together. This is a special broadcast. I'm going to be getting into lots of columns, lots of op-ed pieces, lots of Christian responses to this important, important issue. I won't be taking any calls or reacting to news at the moment. We want to focus on this major issue. Should President Trump be removed? You say, well, he was impeached. Impeached is not removed. You know, many years ago, when I heard the word impeached, I thought that meant removed. No, it's just you're charged with a certain thing and I brought before Congress. And the official impeachment actually doesn't take place until the House turns over the articles of impeachment to the Senate and with managers, prosecutors, to then argue the case before the Senate. So when the impeachment was announced, technically it hadn't fully happened, but impeachment is not removal. And the way everything would go, as per majority, this being such a bipartisan issue, that the House says impeach, he should be removed, and Senate says no, not guilty, and that's the end of it. In short, in terms of what's actually going to happen, I'm talking about the moral issue, I'm talking about the ethical issue, I'm talking about in the sight of God, I'm talking about according to the Constitution, I'm talking about what Christians, what believers, what those who hold to the Bible should feel at this moment. Should President Trump be removed? And of course, there's hardly a more divisive name to raise right now in America, even in the church. For some, an incredible loyalty for Trump. For others, an incredible hatred of Trump and not much middle ground. And the two going at each other all the time online. And whatever we do, please, as the people of God, if we're going to be together forever with the Lord, all right, if we're genuinely brothers and sisters in Jesus, please, let's not make President Trump the dividing issue. Do you think God wants us to divide over that, or do you think the devil wants us to divide over that? We can have our convictions. We can have our opinions. We're going to vote accordingly. But please, let us not divide over our views on President Trump. And for many, with Christmas holidays coming up and with this being a time of a family coming into the new year, don't let your families divide over this. I mean, you might be the kind of family that thrives on heated political discussion. Well, so be it. But for others, don't take away family time. And the only time you're going to get to see loved ones to get into a political debate, all right? But my point of view, ethically, morally, is no, absolutely not. There are no grounds for removing Donald Trump from office. And as much as you have partisan politics playing out here with the whole impeachment process, and you know the way the Republicans are going to go and the Democrats are going to go, hardly without any defection on either side. I mean, minimal, right? The issue is this, and this is what I have to face, regardless of looking at each point and saying who's right, who's wrong on each point, and we'll get into some of these things. We will get into some of these, all right? But here's my big point on this. When you know that from the day that President Trump was elected, before he was even inaugurated, there was talk of impeaching him. People openly talking about they've been working to impeach him all this time. It was just looking for some kind of excuse to do it. All right. So to me, that's what disqualifies and discredits the whole thing. You say, no, but we have the smoking gun. I'm going to say, what's smoking gun? What are you talking about? Bottom line is, when I just see one, regardless of where you are in this issue, hear me out. When I just see one side, and they have been going with a particular bent from day one, intent on getting rid of Donald Trump, getting him out. All right. This was going forward anyway. The Ukraine call just kind of adds fuel to the fire. So that, to me, discredits the larger process. But what about a Christian perspective on this? Maybe there are bigger issues that we need to be considering. So Drudge Report had this headline on Friday. CT, that is Christianity Today, CT in big red, Trump blasts, quote, far left mag, evangelicals battle. So Mark Galley, the senior editor at Christianity Today, wrote a very strong editorial. His editorial went viral. Responses went viral. My response to it gotten out, getting viral. Just a lot of talk, you know, the news. This is the big thing. Mark Galli, senior editor, editor-in-chief at Christianity Today, saying Trump should be removed from office, all right? And he wrote it as if he was writing on behalf of Christianity. Now, Samuel Rodriguez, Hispanic American Christian leader, highly respected, one of the editors also, or board members at CT, said he wasn't speaking for me. I was surprised to see this, disappointed to see it. And you'll see what Franklin Graham had to say, because it's Billy Graham who founded the magazine. But let's look at what Mark Galli had to say. Then we're going to look at some responses. Then I want to give you my response as we talk about, from a Christian perspective, should President Trump be removed? So the subheadline says this: it's time to say what we said 20 years ago when a president's character was revealed for what it was. And Galli says this: in our founding documents, Billy Graham explains that Christianity Today will help evangelical Christians interpret the news in a manner that reflects their faith. The impeachment of Donald Trump is a significant event in the story of our republic. It requires comment. Now, was it good for Mark Galli to invoke the name of Billy Graham? Franklin Graham says absolutely not. And perhaps it would have been better to leave Billy Graham's name out of this, as if Billy Graham would have been happy with this position, or Billy Graham would have said, this is what I want Christianity Today to be doing. All right. But either way, Mark Galli feels he's writing in the spirit of what Billy Graham has said, which is give evangelical Christians the opportunity to interpret the news in a manner that reflects their faith. So he explains that the normal approach is to stay above the fray politically. And if you look at headlines of Christianity Today, they are not, for the most part, political. Now, it's very true that Christianity Today doesn't have all the influence it once had. And there's so many more publications out these days. We understand that. And it's also true that it's leaned left. Now, not far left. Not far left like Sojourners. When President Trump says far left, that's not accurate. So Sojourners and Jim Wallace and actively campaigning for Democrat candidates and being extreme on a number of social issues, that's far left. To me, barely evangelical, if evangelical at all. Christianity Today is center left, all right? But still respected publication. But he says, look, this is big and we have to address it. And he said, we feel it necessary from time to time to make our opinions on political matters clear. Always, as Graham encouraged us, doing so with both conviction and love. We love and pray for our president as we love and pray for leaders as well as ordinary citizens on both sides of the political aisle. And then he acknowledges, okay, look, the Democrats from day one have been out to get President Trump. And nearly everything they do is under a cloud of partisan suspicion. And the impeachment hearings weren't fair in that Mr. Trump did not have a serious opportunity to offer his side of the story in the House hearings on impeachment. But then he says this: but the facts in this instance are unambiguous. That, to me, is the single most shocking line in the editorial, which in many ways says things that are important and that need to be discussed. And in my response, I welcome Mark Galli's editorial. Glad he said it, because I know he speaks for a substantial minority of evangelicals. Let it be known that we have different views in our camp. That's fine. And let's discuss those different views. I mean, how are we going to discuss them unless they're put on the table? This is not the time to savage each other. This is the time to have civil discussion. I'm talking about within the body. Can we not have civil discussion within the body? I'm passionate. You know I'm passionate. I'm a black and white kind of person, right and wrong, good and evil. That's the way I think. That's the way I see the world. That's the way I see things. But within the body, in the midst of our differences, we need to be able to talk to each other, understand each other. So he says this: but the facts in this instance are unambiguous. And boy, this is highly disputable. The president of the United States attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. That is not only a violation of the Constitution, more importantly, it is profoundly immoral. As we'll see, Jim Garlow, in his response, says, look, he knows some of the Republicans in the House to be godly Christian men, God-fearing, honorable men. He said if any of them thought these charges were true, then they would have voted for the impeachment. And yet not a single one did. And some Democrats, a few, two in one case, three in another, defected and voted with the Republicans. All right. To say this is unambiguous and he did it. And then there's a mountain of evidence saying, no, that's a misinterpretation and that's not what happened. And that's not what the bigger issue was. It had to do with the 2016 election, not the 2020 election. Well, that, to me, undermines a lot of the rest of this argument. He says the reason many are not shocked about this is that this president has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration. He has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. He himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women, about which he remains proud. His Twitter feed alone, with its habitual string of mischaracterizations, lies, and slanders, is a near perfect example of a human being who's morally lost and confused. Well, let me just hang up on there for a moment. I agree that the Trump administration has contributed to the dumbing down of morality in our day. In other words, here, let me give you an example. When Bill Clinton was impeached and he said, I didn't have sex with that woman because it was not for the younger listeners, it was not a particular kind of sex. Therefore, he said he didn't have sex. It made that particular kind of sex more acceptable as, well, it's not actual sex. And it became much more popular. They call it the Clinton effect or the Lewinsky effect, that you can now see, and it's been surveyed, that the younger generation then thought, oh, okay, it's okay to do that. That's not actually having sex. That particular thing, doing it that way, is okay. So when you have the president being a certain type of person, all right, maybe using profanity at rallies as he did, maybe the way he'll rail on people, it kind of gives license to others. People watching the news just said, boy, everybody seems to be using profanity more now because the president did, or they attack each other more freely. So I agree on a certain level there's been a dumbing down of morality. But when he mentions, say, the president's immoral actions in business, his relations with women, about which he remains proud, no, that's not true. I mean, he said publicly, especially as he was getting supported by evangelicals, you know, the Republican convention, he's not really worthy of it. And there are things he's not proud of. I mean, those are his words during the debate. When Hillary Clinton raised certain things and the tape and the crude remarks, he had those horrific remarks he said about women, he said certain things they're not proud of. So this, too, to me, is a misrepresentation of who he is. And the question is, okay, if he didn't actually abuse his powers as president, which is a strong argument that he did not, are you going to impeach him because you don't like his Twitter feed? I mean, you're going to remove him now over that? So... excuse me, we will keep reading. I want to get into some responses, but it's important that we interact with these things. But listen, we must not divide over the president. We must pursue a deeper unity in Jesus. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are discussing today whether President Trump should be removed. Mark Galley, editor-in-chief at Christianity Today, said yes, he should, that his actions as president have been immoral, that he has abused his power as president for personal political gain. He must be removed. And evangelicals, to be morally true, should call for his removal. We're interacting with that. We're going to get a bunch of other viewpoints, opinions. I'll be weighing in with mine, but we're not taking calls today. Galley says the impeachment hearings have illuminated the president's moral deficiencies for all to see. This damages the institution of the presidency, damages the reputation of our country, and damages both the spirit and the future of our people. Now, he points out, yes, Trump's evangelical supporters have pointed to his Supreme Court nominees, his defense of religious liberty, his stewardship of the economy, among other things, as achievements that justify their support of the president. Listen, these are major things. We are not saying that if the president went around killing people, that we'd support him because he's pro-life. That would be a contradiction in itself. I'm talking about shedding innocent blood. I don't like you. You're a political rival. Let's kill you, assassinate you. No, then we would not stand with him. If, in fact, he abused his powers as president and engaged in constitutionally prohibited behavior, then righteously, no matter how much good he did, it would be right for us to call for his removal. But if what he did, the heart and soul of it is that he's kind of a crude guy and a nasty guy and a vulgar guy. He's doing a lot of good. He's pushing back against radical socialism on the left. He's pushing back against radical terrorism around the world. He's standing for the life of the unborn. All right, I wish he was a different kind of person, but I'll take that. I'll take that person over the one that's going to champion the slaughter of the unborn. All right, so he says, this concern, Mark Alley says, for the character of our national leader is not new in CT. In 1998, we wrote this, and it's about Bill Clinton, about his failure to tell the truth, and I'll skip down to a second shorter paragraph. They said this about President Clinton. Unsavory dealings and immoral acts by the president and those close to him have rendered this administration morally unable to lead. Morally unable to lead. They say, unfortunately, the words that we applied to Mr. Clinton 20 years ago apply almost perfectly to our current president. All right. He says that he should be removed, we believe, is not a matter of partisan loyalties, but loyalty to the creator of the Ten Commandments. To the many evangelicals who continue to support Mr. Trump in spite of his black and moral record, we might say this: remember who you are and whom you serve. Consider how your justification of Mr. Trump influences your witness to your Lord and Savior. Consider what an unbelieving world will say if you continue to brush off Mr. Trump's immoral words and behavior in the cause of political expediency. If we don't reverse course now, will anyone take anything we say about justice and righteousness with any seriousness for decades to come? Can we say with a straight face that abortion is a great evil that cannot be tolerated, and with the same straight face say that the bent and broken character of our nation's leader doesn't really matter in the end? All right, so my big question here is, why can't we say both? Why can't we say abortion is a great evil, and we applaud President Trump for being perhaps the strongest pro-life president we've ever had, but we deplore aspects of his personality and behavior? Why can't we say both? Why does it have to be that you're either all in and nothing the president does is ever wrong, and he cracks a joke about a deceased congressman maybe being in hell with a man deceased just this year with his widow about to celebrate Christmas without him? Right, and these are people that knew how to fight. I mean, the late congressman wished that Trump would go to hell. Those were his words to him early in his campaign when Trump went after John McCain. But my point is, you don't have to say, well, I'm going to laugh at his comments about hell, about someone maybe being in hell. I'm going to support everything he does because he's Saint Donald, or I'm going to ask for him to be removed. Why does it have to be one extreme or the other? Why can't you say, boy, I appreciate all the good he's done here, and he's got the economy going and new jobs for blacks and Hispanics and lowest unemployment rates in years, and that's awesome, and we so appreciate that. We so appreciate his stand with Israel, and that is awesome, and that's terrific. And we appreciate how he's pushing back against the radicals that want to silence us and standing for religious liberty and keeping so many of his promises. How many politicians do that? Good for him. Kudos to the president. But boy, that was grievous what he said the other day, and I wish he wouldn't insult people that way. Why can't you do both? Why does it have to be one or the other? Really now? So let's look at how the president responded. Of course, via Twitter, he said this: a far left magazine, or very, quote, progressive, as some would call it, which has been doing poorly and hasn't been involved with the Billy Graham family for many years, Christianity Today, knows nothing about reading a perfect transcript of a routine phone call and would rather have a radical left non-believer who wants to take your religion and your guns than Donald Trump as your president. No president has done more for the evangelical community. It's not even close. You'll not get anything from those Dems on stage. I won't be reading E.T. He meant C.T. E.T. again. All right, so typical President Trump response. Number one, it's exaggerated. Christianity Today is not far left. It's not very progressive. It's center-left evangelical. That's how you would call it. It is not far left. It's not very progressive. It is center-left evangelical, to be accurate. And I'm sure it's been in the decline, as many other magazines and print media are. Of course, they have an online edition and things like that. I subscribe to it, by the way. Very inexpensive to subscribe to, by the way. It's a great deal. And a lot of great information about the church worldwide and things like that. But again, center-left. And they're not advocating, to my knowledge, voting for a Democrat. But We expect nothing less from President Trump in his response. This is what you expect. What does Franklin Graham have to say, though? That's more of interest. In fact, before Franklin Graham, Beth Bauman, who writes at Town Hall and posts a lot of my articles, so we're often interacting when I send something in, because townhall.com is one of the numbers of websites that carry my articles. I don't send my most spiritually oriented ones there because it's more conservative than just Christian, but a lot overlap as I send. But she said something very interesting. She wrote an article, Billy Graham's evangelical website calls for Trump's impeachment because of his personality, not actions. And this is what she says. Let me just scroll down a little bit. She gets through the article, and then she says this. When people voted for Trump in 2016, his character was known. People knew he wasn't the typical politician with a polished background and a family that had been on the political scene for multiple generations. They knew he called things like they saw them. He was crass. He was unpolished. He said what everyone was thinking but was too scared to say. We knew that going in. But people decided a change was exactly what America needed. Christianity Today's editorial sure sounds like they're using the Ukraine saga and Democrats' impeachment shenanigans to take aim at Trump because of his lack of morality. They have an issue with him because he's brash. But again, Americans knew that when they voted for him. And it's hard to argue against a booming economy, record low employment, especially for Hispanics and Blacks, a new trade deal with China, his defensive religious liberty, his impressive judicial appointments. It's chicken for Christianity Today to use the Ukraine saga to attack Trump's personal characteristics. If they have an issue with his lack of morality, then they should say that and not hide behind this farce. So that is a great point that Beth makes in terms of, hey, and calling Christianity Today chicken or Mark Alley chicken, that's obviously her own viewpoint. But we knew who he was when we voted for him. That's why so many of us voted for him with great reluctance. But here's what happened. This is the progression. All right. Now, some of you were pro-Trump right out of the gate. You thought he's the man. He's what we need. And we need a fighter. We need somebody like that. And that was your opinion. And that's what you saw. Someone like me, I opposed him. I was against him. I warned about him. And we still have our warnings up on the website. My video warning evangelicals not to vote for Donald Trump is still on our website and on our YouTube channel, because that was my position then. So I have to take the fact that I said it. I'm not trying to deny it. I'm not trying to change what my viewpoint was in the past. All right. I had massive issues with him. Those of you who still have issues with him and wonder why I voted for him, well, watch the video to know where I was coming from. Or better yet, get my book, Donald Trump is Not Our Savior. Get that book, because we have new material in the beginning and the end. This came out right before the 2018 elections, but new material in the beginning and the end. And then about 100 of my most relevant Trump articles there in chronological order. So you get the progression of negative, 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 and then, or if he wins the primary, then maybe, and then okay, tentative support, and so on, and how the thing develops. But for many, we started off against him, questioning him. He wasn't our candidate. Like Richard Land said, he was our 17th candidate out of 17 choices, all right? Or 17 out of 60, whatever, the one we didn't want to vote for. Then it's him versus Hillary, so he gets our vote, but we have concerns, we're reluctant. Well, now he begins to keep the promises that he made, and he's now surrounded by evangelicals. And those close to him say it's not just for voting purposes. He's been sincerely touched by evangelical love and by conviction, and he sees things about us that he likes and admires. All right? So you have him keeping his promises. Now the attack against him gets heavier and uglier, and instead of just taking it, he starts to fight back. And suddenly and subtly, he becomes our champion. And yeah, someone fight. Well, he's fighting in ways that we didn't always like. And he's exaggerating certain things and others seem like lies, but he's doing good. But we kind of overlook the other because we are, you know, the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So he's the enemy of our enemies, the ones that want to put us in the closet, the ones that want to silence us, the ones championing the slaughter of the unborn, the ones with a radical social agenda and so on. He's the enemy of our enemies. Well, now he's our friend. So along the way, we lose some of our moral compass. But we knew who he was going in, and he's been just that. No surprise. The same guy. Some say he's doing better and prayers are working and he's tempered things more. Others say same guy. But we knew who he was going in. Are you going to impeach him or remove him for being who he's always been and the man that we voted for? That's the question. Anyway, I'm going to come back with Franklin Graham's response and then weigh in some more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So last Thursday night, then early Friday morning, the word gets out. Mark Galley, editor-in-chief at Christianity Today, and as if writing for the magazine, which was founded by Billy Graham, says Donald Trump must be removed from office for his unethical, immoral behavior and abusing the powers of the presidency, and invokes the name of Billy Graham to say he's the one that started the publication. It created a firestorm, many articles back and forth. Franklin Graham immediately posted a response on Facebook, and he took umbrage to his father's name being brought in as if Billy Graham would have supported the editorial position of Mark Galley. So this is how Franklin Graham responded. So this was this past Friday. Billy Graham said this: my father knew Donald Trump. He believed in Donald Trump, and he voted for Donald Trump. He believed that Donald J. Trump was the man for this hour in history for our nation. So Franklin Graham saying, I never would have said who my father voted for, but this editorial by Christianity Today calls me to do it. Forces me to do it. Now, is it two wrongs not making it right? Galley shouldn't have mentioned the name Billy Graham. Franklin Graham shouldn't have mentioned how his father voted. Is one balancing out the other? God knows. But this is now all in the public. So Franklin Graham said this: since they invoked my father's name, I suppose to try to bring legitimacy to their statements, I feel it is important for me to respond. He said, yes, my father Billy Graham founded Christianity Today, but no, he would not agree with their opinion piece. In fact, he would be very disappointed. He said, for Christianity Today to side with the Democrat Party in a totally partisan attack on the President of the United States is unfathomable. Christianity Today failed to acknowledge that not one single Republican voted with the Democrats to impeach the president. And he said, I thought it was Jim Garlow who said this, but actually Franklin Graham. I know a number of Republicans in Congress, and many of them are strong Christians. If the president were guilty of what the Democrats claim, these Republicans would have joined with the Democrats to impeach him. But the Democrats were not even unanimous. Two voted against impeachment and one voted present. This impeachment was politically motivated, 100% partisan. I don't doubt that for a split second. Why would Christianity Today choose to take the side of the Democrat left, whose only goal is to discredit and smear the name of a sitting president? They want readers to believe the Democrat leadership rather than believe the president of the United States. And he says, look at all the president has accomplished in a very short time. The economy of our nation is as strong as it's been in 50 years. ISIS and the caliphate have been defeated, and the president has renegotiated trade deals to benefit all Americans. The list of accomplishments is long, but for me as a Christian, the fact that he's the most pro-life president in modern history is extremely important, and Christianity Today wants us to ignore that, say it doesn't count. He said the president has been a staunch defender of religious freedom at home and around the world, and Christianity Today wants to ignore that. Also, the president has appointed conservative judges in record number, and Christianity Today wants us to ignore that. He said Christianity Today said it's time to call a spade a spade. The spade is this: Christianity Today has been used by the left for their political agenda. It's obvious that Christianity Today has moved to the left and is representing the elitist liberal wing of evangelicalism. Is President Trump guilty of sin? Of course he is, as we're all past presidents and as each one of us are, including myself. Therefore, let's pray for the president as he continues to lead the affairs of our nation. Now, Jim Garlow and many others have said that we have lost credibility by voting for Trump, or more so, by defending Trump at any cost, and that the world looks at us and mocks us and says, I can't believe a word you say. Now, there is truth to that, friends. There is some truth to that. There is a friend, old friend from growing up, been out of touch for decades, went to elementary school together, I guess through high school, but weren't close for many, many years. And he unfriended me on Facebook because of anything I'd say positive about Trump or defend him on anything. And even though I would be balanced as much as I could and take issue where I felt I should and say, I don't agree with this, he just couldn't take it. So I understand that the Trump brand is incredibly divisive. But here, again, my question, why can't we say here's why we stand with him and here are the things we don't like? Do we actually think that if we said we are no longer with Donald Trump? Here, let's picture this, okay? By God's grace, I have a decent platform and we can speak to millions of people through radio and through TV and through internet, right? And books and different platforms. We can speak to a lot of people. So I'm a known conservative voice, not as well known as others, but better known than some, right? So let's just say the big news was Dr. Michael Brown calls for the removal of President Donald Trump, all right? So it would be news, trust me. It'd be out there. And the secular media, many of them would want to talk to me. But do you think if I said, and now you listen to me that homosexual practice is wrong, and now you listen to me that abortion is wrong, and now you'll listen to me that transgender activism is wrong? No! Still to them a misogynist, bigoted, homophobe, transphobe. And many wouldn't even give me the time of day, not because of Trump. I renounce Trump. I'd have to renounce all those other things. Then it'd be a big story. And then better still, say everyone goes to heaven. There is no hell. Everyone goes to heaven. Then I'd be the darling. But you think the world is now going to listen to us? Oh, Dr. Brown, please tell us your views about homosexual marriage, why you don't believe that Mayor Pete and his partner are really married in God's sight. We'd love to hear your views now that you don't support Trump. Oh, please, by all means, tell us about abortion being the slaughter of the unborn. We'd love to hear your viewpoints now that we see you don't like that buffoon Donald Trump. No, the world's going to hate us. The world hated me before I voted for Donald Trump. And if I didn't vote for Donald Trump, the world would hate me. It's because the other stands. Let's not confuse ourselves here, friends. Jim Garlow, highly respected pastor for many years. Why I disagree with Christianity Today's pro-impeachment column. So he says this, charismanews.com. Mark Gallagher used his platform as editor-in-chief of Christianity Today magazine to demand that Donald Trump should be removed. And he goes through the comparisons with Clinton and says, hey, look, Clinton lied, but he perjured himself, which is legally serious. Remarkably, Jim Garlow writes, Galley claims that the facts in this instance are unambiguous. It is quite interesting that he somehow miraculously knows that the facts are unambiguous. Many in the House, all 196 Republicans and two Democrats, all of whom have close range to key information, don't see it that way. In addition, Americans who are not aligned with either party, independents, don't view it this way. The independents are more against the impeachment than for it. Obviously, they don't think it's unambiguous. The keys to understanding facts in this case are two things. The actual transcript of the call and Ukrainian president's recollection of the phone call. He further asserts that the president's phone call was a violation of the Constitution. He said it's precisely at this point that so many strongly disagree with Galley. So bottom line, to say, well, it's unambiguous that Trump violated the Constitution and abused his power as president. No, it's not. It's absolutely not. That needs to be challenged. That partisan narrative needs to be challenged. Then Jim Garlow says this, and this is, to me, very important. And remember, I am close with some folks who are close to the president behind the scenes, all right? Now, every so often, I mean, twice maybe, I've written an article that I said, I really think the president needs to see this. See if you could get it to him. And I don't know if it ever got to him. I know it got to staff of his or people close to him or the family members. That I know. Whether they read it or not, I don't know. But I don't know that an article has ever gotten to him or that the president has any clue who I am whatsoever. I was invited to one White House meeting by some Southern Baptist friends. So Paula White was there. Jared Kushner came in briefly. We were told that he knows who's in this meeting. It's like 25, 30 people. But I mean, how many tens of thousands of people are in meetings that he's going to see a name on a list? So I have no clue if he knows I exist. All right. But I do know people who are close to him, who have access to him. And this is what's important, what Jim Garlow brings here, this perspective. He says, those who know the president with all his flaws, past moral failures and sins, is a man who really wants to do what is right. It is observed with some of the evangelicals who are closest to him. Godly people around them see it and know it. But not to Galley. He notes that the impeachment hearings have illuminated the president's moral deficiencies for all to see. There you have it. based on Mr. Trump's failure to model sanctification, he should be impeached. So again, those that are with the president behind the scenes, who pray with him, who speak the truth to him, who sometimes in humility rebuke him, who appeal to him, they consistently see someone who listens, who seems open, who seems to genuinely care, who seems to be attentive to their concerns, and yet who then goes out of there and is going to tweet what he's going to tweet, all right? But the fact that he feels it's important to keep his word to evangelicals, that's important. To keep his word to Americans, that's important. Yeah, it's contradictory, isn't it? That on the one hand, it seems he'll exaggerate to the point of lying, and he seems to do that a lot. And on the other hand, it's really important to keep his word and to honor commitments that he's made. But this is so two-sided, friends. When we try to make it one-sided, we make a mistake. So Jim Garlow takes issue with Mark Galli lecturing evangelicals who support Trump, saying that they brush off his immoral words and behavior in the cause of political expediency. He says, I know every one of the persons who have served as president's faith advisors. In the interest of disclosure, I have been one of them. Not one of these faith leaders brushes off anyone's immorality or behavior. Not one. They never have. Not one of them has ever said or believed that bent and broken character of our nation's leader doesn't really matter in the end. Not one. I could speak with specificity here, but I will not. In that one sentence, Galli is participating in character assassination, a favorite tool of many these days. See, Garlow's saying, well, I know to be true. Look, the leaders around him don't just look the other way, but they have an open door to work with the man and influence. And I'm talking about black leaders. I'm talking about Hispanic leaders. I'm talking about other minority leaders. I'm talking about leaders who are concerned about the inner city and leaders who are concerned about justice and leaders who are concerned about godly immigration reform. And they have his ear and they have an open door to him. Well, he should be removed because he can act like a jerk sometimes. You don't remove the president because of that. You continue to speak to him in private if you have access, and otherwise pray for him, or in my position, speak openly where I differ. And look, this is what Chief Justice Roberts has said, that you don't pitch or bat, you call balls and strikes. That's what we have to do. Let's just be honest and upright. And instead of getting in the game in every sense, and we have to be totally loyal here, we're on one team or the other. No, let's be on God's team. Let's be on God's team, not on the Republican team, the Democrat team, Trump team, the anti-Trump team, on God's team. And then from there, we speak truth to power. And from there, we vote accordingly. And from there, we work for righteousness in every area of society. All right, we'll be right back. More to come.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so I've been sharing different commentaries responding to Mark Galli's call for the removal of the President Mark Galli, Editor-in-Chief of Christianity Today. If you didn't read my article, it's on our website, askdrbrown.org, and on many, many other websites responding to Mark Galli. My goal was not to take a side and say, how dare you call for his removal? Or you better call for his removal. My goal was to try to step back as an elder in the Lord and say, okay, I'm glad this is being discussed because many evangelicals feel this way. And you know how it is. Some people say, how can you possibly be a follower of Jesus and not support Donald Trump? And someone else looks and say, how can you possibly be a follower of Jesus and support Donald Trump? And each side looks at the other with incredulity. What Bible are you reading? They want what are you smoking? I mean, what are you thinking? What, are you crazy? I mean, that's how each side looks at it. It's a conversation we need to have then. And so I try to say, here's where I believe he's wrong. Here's where I believe he's missing the point. Here's where I believe he has a valid point. So let's talk to each other and let's get on our faces before God. And let's say, Lord, we want to unite around Jesus, not divide around Trump. All right, so back to Jim Garlow's response. He said his third point, closely related to that, this character assassination, is the fact that Galli has no grasp of the kind of healthy spiritual input that is coming from evangelicals into our president. Again, that's a big thing. When you have closed-door access and you can speak and input and see there's receptivity, then you don't just go out and trash the person. Here, let me give you a perspective. One of my white friends told me he was talking to a black friend. And sorry to be so stark, I'm just describing it the way it was. And this was when Barack Obama was president during his first term. And this black friend said, look, when you criticize Obama, it's like you're criticizing somebody's son. In other words, it was such an important personal thing for many black Americans to have a black American president. Understandably, absolutely understandably. It was such a significant moment. And as one gentleman, I've referenced this, but he was a trainer a little while I was working out in a gym, and he was my trainer, a African-American man. And he said, you know, for me, for my family, it's like it took the roof off. Now, anything is possible. Not that he wanted to be the president, but what it meant in the community. All right. So now if I say, well, I take issue with Barack Obama over this, well, if I'm going to do it, I need to do it with a certain sensitivity. I don't mean a hypersensitivity. I just mean understanding how a certain thing can sound, especially as a white leader. All right. So the same way, if evangelicals say, look, we have access to them, and he has not excluded us. He's opened the door to us more than any other president in our history in terms of evangelicals having his ear and meeting with him and praying with him, and evangelicals appointed so many places in his cabinet and others, etc. You don't scorn that. Okay, we don't like that public behavior, but we can talk to him privately and we keep working on him. In the meantime, look at all the good he's doing. Then Jim Garlow says, fourthly, Mark Galli wants to invoke the name of Billy Graham. Obviously, Franklin had an issue with that. Fifthly, while it's admittedly not a profound significance to Galli's article, it still might be important to note that Christianity today has been losing influence for some time. So just saying, hey, not as significant as they used to be, but significant enough that this was the big news cycle on Friday and over much of the weekend in terms of this statement. All right, so one more article. This is Relevant Magazine, especially relevant for younger Christians, millennials and others, and I would say to the left of Christianity today, but evangelical. So it has a number of responses to Galli's article, right? So, of course, President Trump's response, Franklin Graham's response, Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, I mentioned earlier, highly respected Hispanic American leader. He's on Christianity Today's board. But he said to the New York Times, Christianity Today is very apolitical. He said, we don't do politics. We don't even bring up politics in a board meeting. I don't think it should affect anything. So he was surprised to see it's like, hey, I'm a board member. This didn't reflect my views. Lisa Sharon Harper told the New York Times that she saw the editorial as a good step forward. Quote, the heart of white evangelicalism is realizing that its pulse is weak, and that there is sickness in the faith. The fact that it took them so long is something they must learn from. But I'm glad they spoke out. I totally differ with her. I don't believe that white evangelicalism has a weak pulse, and many of the most thriving, healthy churches in America are white evangelical. There are plenty of non-white evangelical churches that are thriving in America, all right? But no, hardly weak pulse. It's not that they figured out. This was probably Mark Galli's viewpoint. He didn't vote for Donald Trump. He voted third party, I believe. There's no surprise that he has this. It's not like a big, No, it's not a big revelation. Caitlin Beattie, author and editor. She said, so this is a big deal. I sincerely pray that Trump's evangelical supporters will heed the warnings here about the cost of continuing to stand behind our immoral president. Why not just say it like this? Donald Trump, in his outward behavior, is in many ways a very unchristian man. But he's doing a lot of good for a lot of Christian causes and for the nation as a whole. What was that? Is that so hard to figure out or say? Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove. One potential angle, given the season, Herod's slaughter of the innocents at Jesus' birth reminds us that political rulers who abuse their power always harm the most vulnerable. You might even call it a pro-life case for impeachment. Oh, come on. You're going to compare Herod slaughtering baby boys in Bethlehem 2 years old and younger in case Jesus was among them, with the hope that Jesus was among them, so that he could kill, slaughter the Messiah before the Messiah could grow up to be the king and displace him, be a threat to him. You're going to compare that to Donald Trump allegedly abusing his power with a call to Ukraine, which of course many say was not an abuse of power and didn't do anything wrong. Seriously? This is an evangelical response? Jerry Falwell Jr., less than 20% of evangelicals supported Hillary Clinton in 2016, but now Christianity Today magazine has removed any doubt that they are part of the same 17% or so of liberal evangelicals who have preached social gospel for decades, CT Unmasked. That's what I expect from Jerry Falwell Jr. That would be in keeping with his response. I would say, yeah, Unmasked is very revealing, definitely very revealing. We'll see if they publish another op-ed from an editor within CT with a different perspective. I think that would be healthy. Otherwise, I hope that they would welcome one from the outside offering another evangelical perspective. Let's see, Chris Garris. I'm astonished but gratified to see this from CT Magazine. It's time to call a spade, etc. Yeah, again, I'm glad it came out because it represents the viewpoint of a minority of American evangelicals, in particular, white American evangelicals. I'm glad it came out because the position is there, and there are definitely issues with our blind loyalty to the president as if he could do no wrong. Why? Why do we have to be either or? Why do we have to be slinging mud at each other within the body over Donald Trump? Why does it either have to be that he's a saint or he's the devil incarnate? Why does it have to be either that you remove him or you'll die for him? Why? Since when? And based on what? And who's calling for it? You think that God right now is saying, all right, Church of America, I want you to line up. Are you for Trump or are you against Trump? No. I believe God's saying, I want you to line up and be for me. That God's saying, be loyal to him. Bow your knee to Jesus. Get your life in line with God. Do that. Honor God. Please God. Make that your priority. Yeah, do that. And then come to righteous convictions concerning the president and how you stand and different things like that. Why? Can't we do better? Can't we do better? Boy, Donald Trump is the kind of person, just who he is, that brings everything up to the surface, the good and the bad. He's that kind of person. He brings everything up to the surface. You mention his name and you find out where people stand politically. You find out, just do it. And sometimes you realize you don't want to mention his name. I remember right after the elections that I was preaching in California, and two churches were going to come together to host me. One was basically all white, and the other was basically all Hispanic. And this was in California. So, you know, are there illegal immigrants among them? And so, you know, all the questions that could be asked. And I felt that the Lord wanted me to address incoming President Donald Trump from a kingdom perspective in a way that everybody in the congregation there, regardless of how they voted, could say amen to what I was saying. And you know me, it's not going to be compromise. So friends, I'm going to make the appeal again. Rather than divide over Trump, let's unite over Jesus. We can have our differences, but they must not divide us. Why? Because united we stand, divided we fall. It's that simple. Because our witness to the world has to be first and foremost about Jesus, not political affiliation and not where we stand on the president. Don't get pulled in, especially the holiday season. Don't get pulled in to partisan politics and to these battles. Instead, glorify the Lord. Bless one another. Encourage one another as fellow believers. Talk about your common faith and then reach out to touch and help a lost and dying world. And friends, we would love to have you as part of our support team. Would you take a moment and go to AskDrBrown.org? If we've been a blessing to you this year, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on donate. Stand with us. Together, we're making a difference.